Thank you, song. Now I know him. I hope when we leave this place today, we can say, I know him, Jesus, like I've never known him before. Amen. Good morning. It's nice to see your faces again. It's a pleasure to be here in the Church of God in this place. And it's more than a pleasure, it's an honor for me to be able to speak to you for about 15, 20 minutes. And I hope that the Lord speaks, not myself. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your kindness and love toward us all. You give us good health. We are at church, listening to your word. May they listen to you, Lord. We want to listen to you, myself and the whole congregation, to hear your voice, not mine. Please accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to take two characters in the Bible. The oldest stories that we read in the Bible. We want to take Enoch and Abraham. And I hope with the time allotted to me, I can cover what they did to please God. My subject today is pleasing God. Do you want to please God? Do you want to feel that he is looking upon you and is pleased with your life? Well, let me give you some examples, and I hope we can follow these examples. I want to read a verse from the Bible written by Paul in Galatians 1:10. It says, "For I am now seeking the favor. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Jesus Christ." You know, people aim to please. Husbands try to please their wives, and wives try to please their husbands. And I hope, yeah, you're smiling. Okay. Thing of it is, last Friday, I think both the husbands and wives tried to please each other. We had, you know what I call Friday? Friday, what was it? I call it love night. So you expressed your love to your wife, and your wives expressed their lives to their husbands in many ways. And may the Lord keep you happy and keep us all pleasing God. But most of that, through my readings and experience, people like to please themselves. In the letter to the Philippians church, Paul wrote in chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, "For they all seek to please themselves. They seek after their own interests, not those of Christ." The Bible teaches plainly that it is a privilege and not a burden to live pleasing our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us look at these two characters that I mentioned a little bit earlier and see how these two men pleased God. Pleased God. And Enoch pleased God, number one, by a close fellowship with him. A close fellowship. Jesus said in John 8:21, "And he who sent me," the Father sent him over, "has not left me alone, for I always do things that are pleasing to him. Before I go a little bit further, is your life pleasing God? Just ask yourself this question. Don't you wish that we could say and practice on a daily life to please God? Just imagine how many marriages will be saved and lives rescued and homes rebuilt when selfishness is not the aim of people, whether men or women. And when selfishness is put aside as we humbly seek the will of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Are we doing our utmost? Are we craving? Are we aiming? Is our goal in life as we go around and live and do things, okay? Is our goal is first and foremost to please Jesus Christ? There's a man who used to come to our church and he moved back east. He said, I always try to live to put a smile on the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he sees you, when he sees what you're doing, when he notices that you are really trying to please God, would he smile? Or would he frown and shakes his head? No, this is not the way. May the Lord help us. We all long to have access to the heart of God. Yes, I want to please you, Lord. Dear ones, the Lord is waiting for all of you, all of us, regardless, to have this intimate fellowship. And He is willing to take the first step to have a strong relationship with you. You know what the Bible says? In Proverbs 8:31, the Lord hears the Lord speaking, and I'm having my delight with the sons of men. He has delight to have fellowship, strong fellowship with each one of us. He says, it's my delight. Do we turn to him on a daily basis before we do anything? Say, Lord, I give you this day and I beg you to be with me and help me to be found pleasing in your eyesight. Help me to live this life. Enoch, live this life. And this man, the word of God spoke about him. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For before his being taken up, here's the key verse, the key point. He had this testimony. God testified about him. He had this testimony that he, help me, pleased God. Did he please God for one day? For 1 week? For 1 month? After we make so many efforts, we barely can make it one day pleasing God. And we fall. But thank God, we get up again. And he did not try, say, 1 month, I will walk with God. 1 month I will have this deep fellowship with him. No. 1 year? No. You know how many years he walked with God and pleased God? 300 years. But say, Adel, no one can please God every morning. Oh, yeah. Every day, every noon. No. I'm not saying he did not. He did not make mistakes. He did not fall. He did not sometimes not please God in many ways, personal ways. But he asked for pardon, and the Lord said, "You're pardoned. Come on, let's continue. Let's continue walking." Sometimes you feel like, oh, I did something wrong. You lied. You couldn't hold your tongue. You had a quarrel. You had a problem and quarrel with your wife. No one has quarrels with their wives here. You're all angels, right? Yeah, you're an angel. Thank you very much. So remember, Alex is an angel sitting here. We all have problems. And Enoch comes to God and says, "Enoch, what's wrong?" "Well, I had a disagreement with my wife, and also my child did this. I had a problem. I fell into a certain sin." As the Lord said, "I pardon you." We come to him confessing. He will pardon us. That doesn't mean if 1 day or two days in a row or 3 days, we fall. But thank God, we have an intercessor at the right hand of glory, Jesus Christ. We go to him and we confess our sins, we confess our weaknesses, we ask for pardon, we ask for forgiveness. And guess what happens? Jesus said, "You're forgiven." Isn't that wonderful? Enoch walked with Jesus, with God, and he walked 300 years. I believe it 100%. If we asked so many of our more mature people, instead of saying the older people, Mike. More mature people, if we ask them, "How is your walk with God?" Say, "Thank God, I'm still walking." "How long have you been saved?" 35 years. "Wow. And walking with God?" "Yes, I am." Does it mean he or she did not fall into some sin, into weaknesses, into losing your temper many times with your children? Do you have children? Some of you have children, you know. But the Lord says, if you come to me and acknowledge your sin and confess what you have done, I will forgive you. And what did he do, Enoch? His fellowship was never, never cut with the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked and kept walking. What's wrong? God asked him, "What's wrong today, Enoch?" "Oh, you know, you don't know." I know. "Come here. Let's pray together." "What happened, Enoch?" He said, "The children are giving." "You don't know." I said, "I know. I am your God. And whatever he went through in life, like we are going through on a daily basis, let us continue walking with God, because he promised that he will forgive us and he will take us by the hand and walk us through this life until we meet him when he comes back to take us to be with him. He had a great fellowship. And I ask you, don't let anything in your life deviate you or take you away from that fellowship. And nothing could take away our friend Enoch from having a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, if we're living today, is by his grace. Because he's graceful, he's merciful, he's loving, he's kind, and he is there to help us, you and me, to continue. If you are a child of God today, he will help you to continue until you meet him again in the air. Am I clear on that? It was testified that Enoch walked with God. Enoch had fellowship, had relationship with God. He wouldn't do anything until he asked God. And God would say, go ahead or not. God loved him. And he loves you. And he loves me. And he loves us. Enoch was always in constant relationship and fellowship with God that day. Don't you think after 300 years that Enoch became close to God? That he would open his heart to the Lord about all his problems, about his troubles? And he wouldn't let a day pass without having this sweet communion with the Lord. What was the result of walking with him? And that was a unique result. That Enoch moved his residence. Shall we say that? He moved his residence from this world and he moved to live with the Lord forever and ever. The Bible says he did not see death. God took him. What a fellowship that developed between God and this man. And I ask you today, don't let anything take you away from fellowshipping with your Savior on a daily basis. Seek him through prayers, through reading your Bible, through being at the meetings, through attending church. If you do that on a daily basis, regardless of our mistakes, our sins, our shortcomings, whatever it is, regardless, because we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ. You come to him and ask him. If you're not saved, yes, come to him and tell him, Lord, please save me. Save me from sin. And if you are a believer and love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're living for him, he is there to help you make it and to help you find pleasing in God's eyesight. Would you do that, please? Remember, God came down for us. And he had the love in his heart to walk with us, to save us, and to have fellowship with us, and to make us happy people. So many unhappy people in the world today, to make us joyful because the Spirit of God is living in us. And let me ask you, how is your relationship with Christ today? Enoch, how's your relationship? Excellent. How is your relationship with God? The second person I want to talk about is Abraham. These are old people. Matured, excuse me. Old people. What a privilege to have God as our now friend. Let me ask you, who was known, most of you know, who was known in the Bible that he is God's friend? Immediately you jump, Abraham. From the beginning, Abraham was obedient to God. And first, fellowship. Secondly, obedient. Fellowship, Enoch. Obedient, Abraham. What a privilege. This reminds me of a story. I don't know whether you heard it from me before. Small story. And the father was talking to his son, Timothy. And mother was in the kitchen working. And suddenly, she heard Timothy. Wow! You know how kids scream and shout and rebel. And the mother jumped and said, "What's wrong, Timothy?" Through screaming and shouting, he said, "Daddy said a bad word." She said, "Okay, son, what was the bad word that Daddy said?" "Obey." He said, "Obey." I was talking to someone, walking with him. I used to walk with him almost 4 or 5 miles every other day. And I was talking, I said, "All God wants from us is to obey him." He said, "Stop there. Stop a little bit. Can we change the word obey into coordinate?" I said, "God wants you to obey. You want to coordinate things with him?" We disagreed, and he kept disagreeing and disagreed with him. I said, "I try my very best to obey God on a daily basis." Let me ask you a question. That man, Abraham, did he obey? Those who know the Bible, they will tell you, yes, he obeyed. And those who do not know his story, well, let me help you. When he received orders to leave his country, he was living in Mesopotamia somewhere, and the Lord said to him in Genesis 12, "Abraham, yes, Lord, get out of your country to a land I will show you." So far, so good. Move. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him. And God commanded Abraham to journey and move your camp. He just backed off. Then Abraham said, "Abraham, what happened? Suddenly you're moving. Where are you going?" "I don't know where I'm going." "Do you have a destination? Do you have a little city? Where are you going?" I said, "I don't know." "What do you know?" "God told me to move." Is that obedience or what? When God tells you to move, there is no problem because God knows what's going to happen. God knows where he's going to take you. God knows what's going to, where you're going, and which country you're transiting to get to that point where God wants you to set your camp there. You don't know where you're going. No, but I know one thing. I know God commanded me to go. And this is the key. When God speaks to us to obey him, he's not asking him to leave and pack. And he's asking us to obey him in the little things. Do you? Do I? Do we? Are we obedient to the commands he gives us? When God asks to do an errand for him, or a service, what should your response be? Yes. If you are in the armed forces, Navy, Marines, anywhere, and you receive a commandment from your superior, will say, wait a minute, let me think about it. What would happen to you then? Those of you who've been in the armed forces, what would happen if you say, well, let me think about that? And when you receive an order from Almighty God, he says, Dean, I want you to do this service for me. And you know it's from God. Okay, I will do it halfway. I will do it my way because I know better. Or, I don't know, this is not obedience. This is disobedience. When we question God, disobedience. When we have a problem, what he told us to do, what he tells us to do, okay, and say, I need a couple of days to think about that. Disobedience. But when he tells us to do something, to serve him, to visit a sick person, to go to the hospital and pray with someone, to do things here and there, he's not asking you to just sell your house and leave. Oh, this is dangerous. Be careful. Be careful. We are not supposed to move without asking God and get his blessings and our obedience together. He's asking you to do little things that you can do. And he will say, do it. And say, okay, give me some time. We have a God who created us, who's alive to help us and guide us. And he knows our destiny. He knows our future. He knows what's going to happen to you and me, anyone. Because he is God. He is Almighty God. And if he asks you to do something for him, say, aye, sir, I will do it. Get out. And what did Abraham show beside obedience? Trust. He believed God. And this is why after he walked with God and worked with God, you know what God said? Abraham is my friend. How would you like to hear this? He says, Jim is my friend. Matt is my friend. George is my friend. Caitlin is my friend. My name, he knows us. And he says, my friend, isn't that the best privilege you can ever hear? The best honor that God is my friend. And you introduce your friend, says, I'm the friend of God. How would you like that? To be the friend of Jesus Christ. Someone described friendship. And he says, one of the privileges of friendship is being able to speak frankly, little by little, and day by day. Then we become accustomed to saying what we think without hesitation or fear. If you have a friend and you develop this friendship and you can say, hey, this is like my brother, wouldn't you open your heart to him? Wouldn't you have this communication together? The old saying says, a friend in need is a friend indeed, right? That's true. That's true. May God help us to open our hearts to God and to get used to have him as a friend. You can confide in him. God, I finish in 2 minutes. God, Abraham was his confidence. He put his confidence in Abraham. When God wanted to burn Sodom and Gomorrah, you heard about it. He came with 2 angels and visited Abraham. Maybe you don't know that. He knew that it was noontime. And Abraham sitting in front of his tent, rich man, acres of land was his. You know, when he left with nothing, but he obeyed God and he became one of the richest men of his generation. And he was sitting there. Hello, Abraham. Abraham knew who was that. He just knelt and threw himself on the court. My Lord, what can I do? This noontime, let me prepare lunch for you. Sarah will prepare lunch for you, his wife. You know, God will say, yes, okay, we'll have lunch together. When after having lunch and telling Sarah that she's going to have with a child, he looked at the 2 angels and says, what do you think of confiding into Abraham? To whom do you confide? Read it in what, chapter 18, I think. He wanted to confide. Confide what? That he was going to burn Sodom and Gomorrah. To whom did he go? To his best friend. To the friend of God. And he told him, before anyone knew about it, he knew about it, Abraham, because this is what a friend does. He tells his secrets to his friend. And Jesus himself, God himself, confided into Abraham. And there's a discussion after that. But I don't want to take your time and mine. He became a friend of God. Enoch had a relationship with God that God said, let's go home together. We're too far from your house. My house is better. So come to the mansion I prepared for you. And for Abraham, he lived. A man of integrity. A man rich in spiritual things and rich according to this world. And through him, thousands and millions were born because God has blessed him. And he's blessed Enoch. And he's willing to bless us. What both of these men do, they pleased God. They put a smile on his face, as we say. They lived to honor God in their lives. And this is the call today. Are we honoring God? Would you honor God? Would you come to him and tell him, Lord, use me. I want to obey you. I want to have fellowship with you. If you don't have that, bow your head and say, Lord, please accept me as a sinner. I want to please you in my life. And the entrance into that is take Jesus as your Savior. Take him as your Savior. Would you? Let's bow our heads for prayers. If the Lord spoke to you through this word, humbly I say, that's his word. I hope you heard his voice, not mine. Forget about the speaker. And look at Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I want to obey you and live for you. And then you will be pleasing God. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meditate on your word. This your word, the speaker, is only a pipe. And your voice is to be heard, to be heard, and your voice to speak to us, not the speaker. Bless each and everyone and help us to live for you, to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.